of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Scoffs.
And they, a foolish people, reviles your name.
Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts.
Do not forget the life of your poor forever.
Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame.
Let the poor and needy praise your name.
Have regard for the covenant.
Arise, O God, defend your cause.
Forever shall be, forever.
with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 32nd chapter. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Yabok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And the man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please, tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Behold, he who keeps Israel
will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in,
from this time forth and forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, the third and fourth chapter. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how, from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, when he writes this: "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." This is our text. This Sunday and the following two Sundays, we will be building up to Reformation Sunday. Today, we are taking up the topic of Scripture alone, next Sunday, grace alone, and the following Sunday, faith alone. Scripture alone. Sola Scriptura. Probably sounds familiar to most of you. Those words are written above the door in the back as you enter the sanctuary. They're printed on the front cover of your bulletin, top and bottom, almost every Sunday. Scripture alone. It makes a good slogan, has a nice sound. But why is this phrase so important to us? Where does it come from? What does it mean? What does it mean, not just as an idea, but for life, for your life and for mine? St. Paul would have Pastor Timothy and us know this. Scripture alone reveals our Savior, Jesus Christ, because Scripture alone is inspired by God. I'll repeat that again. Scripture alone reveals our Savior, Jesus Christ, because Scripture alone is inspired by God. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you how it seems to me. It seems that there are many lies out there and many half-truths, which means that there are many liars and many half-truthers. And there are so many people and so many places and even computer algorithms that are trying to tell me what I should hear and what I should think, and sometimes that are trying to give me exactly what they know I want to hear and think, trying to shape us. Often we don't know what to believe. We don't know who to trust. Maybe we can't even trust ourselves. Have you ever felt that way? Our own judgment might be suspect. Remember that thing you used to believe? Remember that purchase, that decision that you thought would be so great? Remember that person you trusted when your gut or your friend told you not to? For St. Paul and Pastor Timothy, and for you, there is a reliable, a trustworthy source for what to believe and on which to build your life: the sacred writings. The sacred writings of the Old and New Testaments. The sacred writings, which Paul tells us, alone are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is what St. Paul would wish for us, as he wished it for Timothy today, that we would continue in these writings, remain in Holy Scripture, not depart from these words of God. From whom did you learn the Scriptures? You can thank God for them by name, right now, and in your prayers. Thank God for the parents, the family members, the friends, the godparents, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, the camp counselors, and the neighbors who put God's word into your hands, who spoke it into your ears, who placed it before your eyes. And who has learned the Scriptures from you? Timothy first heard from his mother and his grandmother, a beautiful testimony to the handing on of the faith in a family from one generation to the next. Later, he was instructed by St. Paul, a beautiful testimony of faithful pastors to instruct his people. But what mattered most and what mattered to Paul was not so much the people from whom he heard it. There are plenty of Muslim parents who have taught their children Islam, plenty of Jewish parents who have taught their children Judaism. What mattered most for Timothy was the truth of what he learned, that what he was given from his parents, his mother and grandmother, and from St. Paul was the truth from God himself. The truth there in the Old Testament, which promised and pointed to Christ Jesus our Lord, and the truth as handed down from the apostles and others in the New Testament, those who were eyewitnesses to the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. Through Holy Scripture and through Scripture alone, we know our Savior, and we are made wise for salvation through faith in him. And what do we know about this Savior? What do we know about this salvation? We know Jesus is the Son of God, born, conceived, and born of the Virgin Mary. We know that this Jesus suffered. Oh, how he suffered. How he hung on a cross like a criminal and died on a Friday afternoon on a hill outside Jerusalem and was buried. And we know he did this because of our sin. He did this because of death, which looms over us. He did this because of the devil, who you know and I know is like a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. And we know from the scriptures that this Jesus, on the third day, rose from the dead in his body, and then he ascended on high, where even now, right now, he lives and he reigns over us and for our good. And we know he will appear again to judge the living and the dead, and of his kingdom, the kingdom to which you and I belong, there will be no end. What is it that makes Scripture unique? Of course, there is everything I just related about what Scripture says, but also that St. Paul reminds us that Scripture is breathed out by God. It is the very breath of God himself. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and so it is through the Scriptures that God breathes into us again that same breath of life. The Holy Spirit breathing in the Scriptures, in every word, in every sentence, in every book, that we too may have life. God himself is the source of the Holy Scriptures, of what was written by the prophets and the apostles. They wrote only because they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and not just moved in a general way to write, but moved in a particular way to write these particular words for us. And so what we have in the sacred writings, in Scripture, is the Holy Spirit's own words. Or as we say at the end of the readings, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, the Gospel of our Lord. This is the good news that he has for us. This is what God would have us know about himself, about our world, about ourselves, and about our salvation. Listen again to what St. Paul said. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. This is not a theory. This is not an idea. This is a reality. On your nightstand, or on your coffee table, or on your shelf, or somewhere in your house, and if you don't have one, see me right after service, and I'll give you one. You have a book that is alive with the life of God himself. You have a book that breathes life into you, because it comes from God himself. Where else would we turn? What other authorities would we look to in our life? Well, we have them, plenty of them. Places we turn to, people we tune into, the sources we trust for truth. So what are they? When you want something to feed your life, where do you go? Is it Fox News or CNN? The New York Times or the Wall Street Journal? Talk radio or NPR? And I ask you this, I ask you because I know we turn things on, we tune things in all the time, day in and day out. But which of those sources are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ? Which of those are breathed out by God? Which of them are beneficial for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness? Sometimes, maybe, but all the time? Which authorities in your life are able to equip you for every good work? To me, that question is the kicker, because I find that the things that I often feed myself with, they can equip me for many things, for worry, for anxiety, for fear, for distrust, for anger. But for every good work, does it make you better at loving your neighbor and loving your God? And if we want to know what good works are and what sins are, the place to turn, the most reliable and trustworthy place, is to God's Word. The place to turn so that we can have our lives opened and exposed, so we can see our sin for what it is, and then see our Savior for who He is. Because, you know, if you think your sin is only very little, if you think it is a small thing in the sight of God or toward your neighbor, then you will also think that your Savior is a very small Savior, because there's very little from which you need saving. We can think especially today of questions, perhaps, that are, or sins that are not acknowledged or questioned in our world. Is abortion sin? CNN? Fox News? Scripture. Where do we turn? Is sex outside of marriage sin? Is drunkenness sin? Is failure to pay one's taxes sin? God determines what is sin, and He is the only reliable criterion of what is right or wrong. Is speaking about our neighbor behind their back sin? God's Word will tell us. And God's Word is there. I think sometimes we're afraid to open it, we're afraid to listen to it, because we don't want to hear what He has to say about us and about our lives. Because we'd rather kind of keep that where it is than have God touch these sore spots and these places that need correction in our lives. No one likes to be rebuked. And I would not say that God loves to rebuke, but God loves for us to know our sin so that He can make known to us our Savior, as He does through Scripture alone, and then trains us in life in Christ, that we might grow in righteousness and in faith before Him, so that we may be equipped, thoroughly equipped, so that we may have everything we need to accomplish what God calls us to do for every good work. Often we want to know what we should do. In the Scriptures, God makes that known to us. What we should do to serve our neighbor in love, because He has also made known to us what He has done to serve us in love, us sinners who cannot save ourselves. There is no other book, there is no other source, there is nothing else in this world that can make a lost sinner wise for salvation. There is no other Scripture, because nothing else has been inspired by God. There is nothing else that is so profitable for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness as what God Himself has spoken and given in His Word. Holy Scripture reveals our sin, and it reveals our Savior. It reveals the way of salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us known to us in the Scriptures, and it is the Spirit who is breathing in the Scriptures, and it is the Spirit who is breathing through these means of grace that God has established in the Scriptures, through baptism and through communion and through the holy absolution. the very breath of God, the very breath of God pumping into our bodies. CPR each and every week for you and me, that we can live and breathe and stand on our feet and do good as God moves us. All because of the scriptures. Can you imagine what life would be like without God's word? Can you imagine what it would be like to not know our God, to not know what is right and wrong, and to not know what God has done about our sin, to live in darkness? But dear friends, we do not live in darkness. We live in the light, for God has made it known to us in the scriptures. And so today, St. Paul again says that we are to continue to remain in, to hold on to these very words, to know the scriptures, for there is nothing better to know than this. Recently, I was reading a little bit about education or listening to something about education, and it was pointed out that years ago, people not only learned their ABCs, but they learned their ABCs by learning God's word. It was the very book that was used to instruct both in faith and in life. What a beautiful way to learn the things of God and the things of this world. So what does it look like to lead a life relying on and trusting in God's word, being breathed into day after day by God himself? It looks like a woman who near the end of life may not remember her own name or the names of her children and grandchildren, but can finish a Bible passage when you begin it. It's like someone who in an Alzheimer's unit may not know anything but can pray the Lord's Prayer because it has been breathed into them over and over and over again. It looks like the person who in the time of need or in the time of celebration and joy begins first by looking in God's word, thanking him, praising him, praying to him. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, my God, the maker of heaven and earth. So as I did at the beginning of September, so I urge and encourage you today to let the scriptures breathe into you, to see nothing in life as more valuable and more important than hearing what God himself has to say. Rather than rolling out of bed and having the first thing that you grab be your cell phone, let it be the scriptures. Rather than turning on the TV or the news when you're eating breakfast, listen to an audio Bible and let God breathe into you. And as I said earlier, if you need a Bible and don't have one, if you want to know more about how to do this, how to live in God's word, come talk to me and ask me for help. Or just pull out the back of the bulletin, the order of daily prayer, with scriptures, with prayers, with a hymn stanza that can be used, so that God can breathe into you morning and evening, day after day after day. Not because you must or you have to, but because God wants this for you and makes himself available to you, and because he wants you to have coursing through your veins the life, the blood, the salvation, the forgiveness of Christ himself, so that you can endure through every hardship, through every trial with God's word, so that you can live not by lies and not by myths, but rather by the truth, by scripture alone. And it is having heard God's word that we are able to wrestle with God like Jacob, to come to God like that persistent widow in the book of Luke over and over and over again. For hearing and knowing God's word, we will be holding on to God's promises, and we can pull his promises back out and lay them before him and say, God, here is what you promised. Now deliver your promise to me, to us, to my loved ones. We know his promises through the word because God wanted to make himself known. He wanted you to know him, not only today, but tomorrow as well, and the day after. And he wanted you to know him for all eternity, so that when Christ comes again to judge the living and the dead, we would hear the judgment from his cross, sins forgiven. and we might live in his presence forever. This is why God has put the scriptures into your hands. It's why he places them into your ears. It's why this was so important in the Reformation, when 500 years ago this year, Martin Luther sat in a castle tower and translated the scriptures into the German language, because he was convinced that God speaks to us and has a word that we will hear nowhere else, a word that can make us wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And this is the word that is given and spoken to you, scripture alone. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of my Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Almighty God, the righteous call to you day and night, and you answer them speedily. Grant us faith to rest securely in your mercy and justice as we await the coming of the Son of Man. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Timothy was charged to preach the word in season and out. Grant us faithful pastors who will answer your call with faithfulness, speaking your word to those who have not heard it, to those lost in error, to those who have fallen away, and to those who are weary. Bless all those who serve your church, and raise up many who will serve the generations to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, you care for your church at all times. Provide your word and sacraments for our brothers and sisters in Christ at the Lutheran Church of the Savior in Bedford, and in due time grant for them another called pastor. Bless Pastor Maynor and his family as they move to a new area of service in your church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have caused the sacred writings of your word to be proclaimed through all generations. Encourage and strengthen parents to teach your word to their children, that your people may be trained in righteousness and equipped for every good work. Lord, in your mercy. Judge of all, grant justice according to your word to those who suffer wrong. Give wisdom and understanding to the leaders of all nations, especially our own, that they may punish evil and reward good, fearing God and respecting man. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, because you neither slumber nor sleep, deliver us from evil. We beg you to keep the lives of those who face sickness, injuries, and troubles, including Ed, Stan, Hattie, Kyle, Rosemarie, Diane, Carol, Sharon, Craig and Sally, Dan and Connie, Dan and Patty, Debbie, Gail, Jack,
Lorinda, Lindsay, Mark, Paula, Sandy, Rick and Teresa, Tony, Verity, as well as Karen, Rick, and Andrea, who are homebound. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you behold our going in and our coming out both now and forevermore. Grant us repentant hearts as we approach your altar this day, that confident in your protection and grace, we may receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for our good. May this pledge of salvation preserve our life, keep us from all evil, and guard us in all our ways. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you desire us to come to you in prayer and not lose heart in the midst of suffering. As we struggle with many afflictions in this veil of tears, strengthen us by the suffering and cross of your Son. Have mercy on us when our spirits fail and we are overwhelmed by despair. Renew our faith by the proclamation of the gospel to cry to you in hope day and night. You are our keeper. Guard us when death draws near, and grant that we would be found faithful on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.